Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming on this lovely midsummer's day. Before we start, just a quick thing about the emergency exits. The way you came in, and there's a door over there with a break glass, should we need to get out on the hurry up. But before we start, we've got Lucy Nicholson with us, and she is from the Community Resilience. She, in fact, is the Community Resilience Coordinator for North Eastern District of the Isle of Wight, and she's going to give us a little talk. Lucy, thank you.
Hello.
Big stand here and address you, yeah, please.
Right. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
I'm Lucy Nicholas, and I'm based at Aspire Rise on Gosa Street. And at the start of the lockdown, we were doing lots of things to help with the COVID response. And I joined the Community Resilience Team as one of the Community Resilience Coordinators for the region, which is a funded project for 6 months, and I met Brian alongside other parish clerks to look at how we could support during the COVID lockdown. But because that stopped, the resilience project has continued for further 18 months of funding, and I'm also now the volunteer coordinator to provide some of the resources for that, anything we can do within the region. So I've sort of got two jobs based at Aspire Ireland and all the volunteering. So that's it, but it means that we're in the process of getting started. I've written an introductory letter about who I am and what we will be doing through the region. So please do take a copy afterwards if you're missing anything that I'll say to you now. Okay, I've got a few leaflets as well. So, as I said, we're the resilience coordinator within the wide area. That is going from Woodbridge on one side to Bedford on the other side, so it's quite a big range of people and localities and demographics. And a lot of things are starting to build up now. So basically, the Aspire Rise Hub has started doing things like auto lockdown phone befriending service for people who are isolating, and that's now being rolled out for anybody in the region who's on their own, isolated, maybe trapped in their homes and they still can't leave, or if you're scared to leave, they can have a phone befriending service. 30 minutes a week, so someone else can just have a chat. We're doing baking butchers and banter on the Wednesday morning. Some guys really like that. And we're also doing some surfing in Lake Beach. We've got me doing it for 6 weeks. Also, we're doing, we're going to be doing coffee mornings. We're starting one at St. Helens on a Monday afternoon. We noticed that people aren't coming out, so we want to do that. And maybe book clubs and things like that, and a crochet group. So some of these things are based in the centre of Aspire Rise, but we're starting to bring things to communities around, like St. Helens. So if you want a group to start up within Seaview, please just contact me. We've got funding at the moment to maybe do a start-up thing. We can help with DBS checks and provide relevant training as well. So, because I found with the people that I've met, some of them are too scared to come out of their home still. We're doing prescription deliveries for people. One lady who's had a COVID, she hasn't been out since the beginning of the first lockdown, and she was hospital. So her only contact is through either phone service or from the new shopping or prescription collection. It'd be really nice to see her come out to a group. And then we see loads of people like that in the community that we don't even know about. So it'd be really good to work with everybody together. One thing I did notice through lockdown was that it was amazing to see people working together, just to see the community come to the foreground and realise actually we could do it when other people have tried years to do something and failed, and like that was the community that was doing it. And it's been quite inspiring, really. So if you'd like to find out more, please just contact me. It would be great to hear from you. And honestly, we'd love to help in any way.
Okay.
And I'll put these down here.
Thank you, Lucy. Yeah. Thank you.
Any questions or anything?
No. I've got Lucy's details. If anyone wants, I can easily put you in touch with Lucy, and she's been very, very helpful. So, thank you very much, Lucy.
Right, thank you very much. Steve Johnson, he's my manager. Well, I work with the Spire Rise, I work with him, and the rest of the Spire is my manager, so we work a lot together. So, yeah. Yes,
brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Okay. Is there anything, has anybody got any questions that are not on the agenda this evening? Kevin?
The area around the car park needs cutting back quite aggressively. It's a lot of trees in it now, and they're
distracting. Yeah, thank you. I'm looking at that. Sydenham Road. Well, on behalf of the council.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions before we start the meeting? Okay, thank you. Okay, apologies for absence. Mark.
Yeah, Mark Gienhart Davis and Dave Adams, Councillor Adams, Councillor Gienhart Davis have both sent their apologies with work.
Okay. Thank you. Has anybody got any personal and producer? Sorry, excuse my tooth. Becky?
Are these all planning applications, though, sir? Which ones are they, Becky?
978, 179,
1075, 1076. That's the same, but I've missed it, because there's a lot of numbers there. It's like bingo, I don't think I could win that either.
No.
So,
and,
oh, thank you. 5 7, 7, 7, 7. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, so for me, Brian, it's 779 and 075.
Hey, Brian.
779. Okay.
And 775.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Far away. Thank you. Yeah.
Any others? Thank you. Okay. So we need to approve the minutes of the previous meeting held on the 17th of May. Becky, you propose it?
Yeah.
Second it, Stuart?
Yeah.
All those in favour, please.
Thank you. Well, Barry, while you're there, I'll get you to sign these.
Yes, Philip.
Application for
the public to speak. I did ask. When Lucy finished, it says, prior to and immediately after this meeting, there will be an opportunity for members of the public to ask questions and make comments.
Well, how have you made application?
Yeah, but it's not an agenda item, Philip. It's not an agenda.
So that's right, I think Philip just wanted to speak at that bit and didn't hear.
Yeah.
Right, do you want to ask? We'll go back to that if you like, then.
Yeah, it's
difficult to hear you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Please.
I don't know what COVID and Zoom has done for those who want to do, but I made the application deliberately to make sure that we didn't get muted, so to speak. I think the public ought to be much more involved with what's going on in this parish. I mean, I've been coming over 3 years now, and there have been some almighty vows, because a previous class of thought that some rules were different than what they actually were. I just want to talk about something I mentioned about 3 years ago, and not a great deal has happened since. I came up with the statement, the biggest threat to parishes, and that's all parishes, is unnecessary development. I think we all generally recognise this, except landowners and developers, and their antics amount to basically a collective environmental destruction. We see it everywhere. All greenfield development, as far as I'm concerned, not just me, must cease and become forestry. I mean, I think that should happen at all tiers of local government, right up to central government. The efforts I've seen amongst members of the public, the electorate, at grassroots level, I mean, you're looking at Nettleston, a resident citizen, who gave generously and raised thousands of pounds to present a legal challenge to the Isle of Wight over the proposed development of Goodwell Field. I mean, that's something we should never have to do with. It's a greenfield site. And I don't know how many people here are involved in it, but it's just like a problem. That's greenfield site. People love it. They love living around there. And I have noticed from people who live around the natural, they how much they love it. And they make reference to the fact that there are other sites, basically, in Nettleston that could be developed. I probably wouldn't be talking about that, other than the fact that the Nettleston residents were seriously let down over Goodwell Field. And it's still harder, a lot of feelings to get that. Any of you know this greenfield site, okay? Just like Donfield. I'm going to say that we all love our immediate beauty and our environment. So, as far as I'm concerned, all parishes must unite and send a clear message to our Isle of Wight Council and then on to central government that enough was enough a long time ago. And the necessary all greenfield development must be. I just don't know that people feel the distance of the greenfield site. Sarah Wilkinson, one of the officers, suddenly said, and there's a ground for who was not on the ground doing this, and she was challenging it was just a matter of semantics. How could that happen? If it is happening, it's happening now, and it's happening everywhere. I just want to bring this headline on the Oxford Mail, Oxford Times, just to let you know that you can do. You can challenge. You don't have to go by the rules that the government or the Isle of Wight Council actually tries to set. This is a daily regular fine for Scotland housing. That's £4,500 on green gold in Oxfordshire. My wife's a very instrumental in this. £20,000 is made. And in fact, they have managed to bring it back to court, judicial review, and there's a penalty in challenge. It can happen, it can leave. It's happening everywhere now. What happened in Amersham? What was that? That was all about development and the loss of greenfield. So I can speak to all talking about preserve our parish, not just our parish, but we want to preserve greenfield between us and Rye. There are people in Rye who are really seriously fighting to preserve greenfield. I think that all of us ought to make a nice together to. To do this. And those who are trying to play some material, I'm the leader, but it's all about the rest of you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Philip. Okay, Brian, your report, please.
Okay. So, the AGAR documents for 2020-21 are now on public display, and the completed audit documents have been forwarded to the external auditor, and we await their judgment on whether our audit's gone successfully. The notice of election for replacement councillor due to Mike Ward standing down is now on display, and candidates have until the 25th of June to submit completed forms to the returning officer at Isle of Wight Council. A Christmas tree that had been planted by a former plot holder before such planting was forbidden at the allotment has been removed from the allotment. The tree looked unhealthy and was impacting access and light to several plots. On further investigation by multiple tree surgeons, it became apparent that the tree was very unhealthy and dangerous, and it's now been removed by Brightstone Landscaping at a cost of £500 in VAT on health and safety grounds. That got done at the end of last week. The disabled cubicle at Seagrove Bay Toilet is currently out of action as a disabled alarm cord has been pulled out of the ceiling, leaving electrical cables hanging down and exposed. T&L Electrical have ordered replacement fittings. They will carry out the repair for us. They've investigated it. The circuit board had actually even been damaged, so considerable force had been used. The safety matting beneath the swings in the Kerryfields play area had dropped further and was flagged up as a concern by the Environment Officer, so the park was temporarily closed whilst it was repaired. CWC have completed repairs at a cost of £473 for that, which was also good because that got flagged in our safety report we'll see later, and that's already taken care of. The Seaview Dinghy Park fence had collapsed on the corner near to the right-hand side gate, and CWC have also replaced a rotten post and broken fencing there at a cost of £175. Carrying on from last month's meeting, the renovation of Seagrove Bay was completed on time and on budget, which was good. The clerk wrote, I wrote to Bob Seeley MP to request clarification on his position regarding the proposed new planning bill. He responded with the following: I will be helping to coordinate concern, reaction and plans amongst Tory MPs to the bill. However, we do need to see what is in it before assuming the worst. So that's Bob Seeley. It looks like his position is, as Councillor Redpath suggested, sort of opposed to that new planning bill. Mike Pastor has been approached with regards to being the internal auditor for the Parish Council next year, and he's confirmed his acceptance of the role. Bryarstone Landscaping met with Councillor Hardy, representatives of the community partnership, myself at Sophie Watson's garden last week, and a new pattern of mowing there will be tried for the rest of this summer to gauge its acceptability with the public. Should this prove successful, this approach can be formalised in next year's groundkeeping contracts. I think Councillor Hardy is going to talk a little bit more about that in hers to explain the thinking behind it. Okay. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Okay, planning is the next thing, and our chair of planning, Dave Adams, is unavailable this evening, and I've asked Councillor Trish Redpath if she would take the lead this evening. Thank you, Trish.
So we've got the delegated decisions on the sheet in front of us. Just quite a lot of them running through. The solar panels at Tesco, I couldn't find any comments from the parish council on the online. Hillbrow Cottage or CV Lane, alterations, similarly that was granted, and similarly I couldn't find a parish council comment listed. Orchard Road, Nettleston, Demolition Conservatory and single story rear extension. Again, that was granted, but I couldn't find a parish council comment on there. Then there was 112 sea whispers at Red Wall for demolition of single story extension terrace and proposed single story extension terrace. That was granted. Parish council did support that one, subject to a conservation approval. Langford Ferry Road Seaview, local development certificate for continued access, that was granted and the parish council has supported it. Then we've got Sandy Cock Lewis Avenue Seaview, which was a proposed single story rear extension, alterations, and changes to our standards of Hitler Roof and third floor terrace. That was granted. Now the parish council supported it, subject to conservation approval, which was given, and for two more parking spaces. The decision notice actually only refers to parking for a single vehicle, and the officer report says that it would not be compliant with current standards to provide two. I don't think they told us that, but I'm not sure. Then, 24 Stone Rise mentioned the proposed single story extension at rear, and extension at first level front elevation. That was granted, the parish council supported it. So, two for Sandlands, Cottage and Steam Road. Both of them the same, for alterations to dwelling access. And that was a listed building consent and a boarding application, both of which were granted and both of which the parish council was supported. And the other one was Five Wisdom Drive, which was a proposed two-bedroom residential dwelling house. That was refused, and that was the one that the parish council rejected, so we really are with them on that one as well. It certainly to the application for consideration. The first one on the list is Shorestone, Peel Road. The variation of the condition to allow modification of cladding and roofing material, and change to the second floor to the balcony. Now, I'm going to be honest, and I'm very confused by this application. I've struggled to work out the layout of the new property. There's nothing there at the moment. The application's already been agreed, and it's all that the existing house has been knocked down. It's difficult to see which way round the new development is going to be. It says that one of the conditions of the approval was to have a pure glass window on the second floor. No, the first floor, sorry, to avoid overlooking the neighbour. And that looks as if that has been complied with. So the applicant is obviously sympathetic to that. And I think it's unlikely that they will be trying to overlook on this amendment. But I personally couldn't see, I don't think anybody else has looked and whether they could, exactly where the studio balcony will face. I'm assuming it would be over the bay, but it's not 100% clear. And I would recommend that we don't object, providing the planners are satisfied that the changes will not have any detrimental effect on the neighbouring properties.
Trish? Pensioners, got anything to say? Yeah? So, your recommendation, Trish?
No objection, providing the planners are satisfied, changes will not have any detrimental effect on neighbouring properties.
Okay, somebody like this?
Can I just have a second for it?
So, is somebody going to propose that?
Yeah.
Okay, and second?
Yeah.
Okay. And all those in favour, please?
Is that everyone? So that's carried.
The second one on the list is Paxton Red Walk CD. I thought this looked rather tight on the site, to be honest. I thought it was very familiar property, and I see today the neighbour has actually objected on exactly those grounds and said that it's interfering with their access. So I think my proposal will be that we object to this one.
Okay, can you have a seconder, please?
Object on grounds of access to the.
Yeah. And I would actually go a bit further and say I think it's labour development in time.
Grounds of access?
Well, the neighbour is complaining.
That's true, that's the father.
No.
The next door, isn't it?
Portholes. It says that it's intruded over the joint access.
Well, when I looked at it, it looks as though it's a mirror image of what they've done next door. Well, I can see a problem in the room.
I thought it was very close to the next door, to be honest, looking at the plan here.
It is, yeah.
But what they're saying, so the neighbour is saying, on the supply plan, the location plan of red line band, it clearly shows the position of Paxton's and portals relative to each other. And yet on the building plan, the buildings are shown as parallel. The gap at the front of the property between the two properties is over 110 centimetres at the rear, reducing to 90 centimetres. If a plan application is granted, the gap would reduce that to approximately 70 centimetres and make it impossible to get any of the bulky objects into portholes. The shared rear access was created to allow access to another flat of portholes by an external staircase and garden for boat storage. The right access has been existed and used continuously for over 30 years and reflected in the current fence positions. The owners have been made aware of this right access, which was registered by the previous owner. We were expecting the right plans, but they have not been submitted, so we are rejecting.
So the proposal is to object on grounds of access and overdevelopment. Yeah.
Then you proposed that, Trish, didn't you?
Yeah.
If somebody wants to second that?
Okay.
And all those in favour, please? So you've got Mark abstaining.
Three, four.
And Roy's abstaining.
Stuart voting?
You both in favour.
Oh, sorry, thank you. So, carried the objection.
Okay.
Five. Sorry. Okay, thank you.
Number three, which is big one. I'll say the most important, because that's the easy most one. The only one. Sorry, I'm struggling to see out the sea as well. Lambeth Creek Road Farm Road, Sea View. H1, information of the area for access. There's an ethically massive objection to this, and people are very happy about it. My comment on this was, this is what I was going to ask the parish council to be prepared to do, was in 2019, the outright consulted on site conclusion in this proposed school strategy, and that included this field and the related donkey field, the site H8073. There was a public meeting held, and quite well attended when I was there. And the parish council submitted on the 20th of February 2019, with an agenda on the 21st of May 2019, its comments on the draft proposal, including the following on the two sites, H8073, that we're talking about. Then we said, or the parish council then said, this is listed in Greenfield site. Provide at least 25 homes, provide a mix of sizes and affordable housing contributions. However, this site is part of the rural landscape and green corridor, and it is felt that it should remain that way, especially since the parish should be able to deliver alternative sites and propose what we need. I would suggest that we try and use this as an opportunity to resubmit our comments on the consultation, which would include these and other sites, to remind the new council that we were not happy with some of these sites that were included. The no further action over the last 2 years has been taken regarding the tour strategy, and this has led to multiple applications within areas for sites, including as possibilities. If they were all approved, if this one and all the others that are down on the list were approved, because nothing has been done, it would result in a delivery that far exceeds the real needs of this area. This current application is for development on greenfield land and is therefore against the parish council policy. Again, it is land with high visual immunity with current seaside views. And then I would say, furthermore, more importantly, there is a problem with the access to this site. It's resulted in strong objections from our own roads, with which the parish council concurs. I'm assuming that we do. Seagrave Manor Road is very narrow, and it can be difficult to negotiate, particularly alongside larger vehicles. Island Road quite rightly points out that there is inadequate width to serve this proposal, and that furthermore, that the roads and the junctions on the way to Seagrave Manor Road are unsatisfactory for additional traffic, and renders the application against policy DM2 of the existing strategy. And I recommend, therefore, that the parish council therefore strongly objects to this application.
Okay. Somebody like the second? Kevin, do you want to say something?
Yeah. At that time, and it surprised me that it wasn't included in the parish council submission, the supplementary planning document was in place, because both council hadn't objected to it, the parish council asked to use it until that happened. It's also a guide to the development plan that the council still has not completed. So it is part for their consideration that they should have considered this as our local position is. And in that, policy two of the open spaces states that the corridor from the Markway through is a nature corridor. 46.1 says it's a strategic division between the two villages, and 4.78 says it should be protected from development. So I think the parish council has been very clear about what that space means to the parish, and the RR Council Planning Department have a document that actually says that. I think, as you know, I mentioned at the last meeting, that this council should start using that in these deliberations, to give it weight and to give you weight, because you're quoting from the document and supposed to be used to make these decisions.
Yes.
So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's really vital. As a new council, you take that on board.
Do you think it would be worth then quoting the data from the paragraphs that Kevin's just read out as well?
Well, if you like to propose that, I'm obviously happy to do that, if you're proposing that, councillors. So, is it, say, it's policy two, was it? So we can include that, and Councillor Redpath, the objection you've written out there, if you've got that typed up.
Yes.
Oh, that would be very excellent to get a copy of that.
Okay.
A strategic division between the two units. This is exactly what I was talking about at the beginning of the beginning of this meeting. In terms of we are one parish or not. We sometimes have our interests in being completely separate from CV, but we are basically one parish. So it's two divisions for the rest of the land is not trying to say. I think that we will be a bit careful about this language. The fields between us and Rye, which you're asking to see, are strategic positions as well. Guildford Road and St. Helens, I mean, that's strategic division between us and St. Helens. These things are very important. I would work together as a parish, but we don't. Talking about strategic division, it starts to ring bells that bring up fantasy about what happens in the big world field.
Well, isn't it
kind of essence? Absolutely. I mean, I wonder if you thought that this is that wasn't submitted anyway in terms of what's the sense of the document.
Hang on, guys, just let's have one meeting.
Yeah.
Kevin, final word on this, and then we're going to go for a proposal. Okay, Trish, would you like to repeat for the benefit of the council with your recommendation?
Yeah, it was recommendation. I mean, I think probably what we should. I would recommend. My recommendation is that we strongly object to the application. And there are the main reasons for that objection are that this is greenfield land and against parish council policy and it's high visual initiative with current seascape views. A comment was made about the green corridor as well. But I think the access to the site is actually probably one of the strongest arguments that the parish has got against it, because Island Rose has said it, and they'd be very, you know, I think we should echo what Island Rose has said, that it's actually the whole system, it's not just the width of Seagrove Manor Farm, Manor Road, sorry, it's the junctions leading up to it which they're objecting to. But my suggestion is that we actually resubmit the comments that we made to the consultation as a reminder to the planning committee. And I'm also suggesting that what Kevin has just read out as the relevant paragraphs from that document are also included.
Indeed.
To actually emphasise that the parish has made comment about this before.
Yeah.
And we're
agreeing it. That sounds good. I've captured most of the key points.
Thank you very much, Chris. Someone like to second that. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And all those in favour?
Is that not unanimous, does it?
No. I'm abstaining.
Are you abstaining, Sri? Yeah. Okay. So, okay.
Thank you, Chris.
It was good
and
safe to be
away. Oh, yeah, you can shake him warmly by the throat. Yes.
Yeah.
The next one is Barnsley Farm, Bullen Road, conversion of redundant rural to forming dwellings. I couldn't really personally see that there was anything wrong with this.
No, that's straightforward.
Recommendation?
Yeah.
Before? Somebody like to second that?
Yeah.
All those in favour, please?
Right. Okay.
The next one is Long House, Manchester. Nettleston Green, demolition of dwelling house buildings out on Ashley Dwellings for parking. This has already been agreed, actually, and the parish council, 16/12/19, apparently, the parish council voted to support it.
Yes,
My recommendation would be we continue to support it.
Yeah.
Although, Island Road do have some criteria about how the access should be dealt with and actually the process for it. So my recommendation would be that we support this application, providing the comments made by Island Road to follow.
Okay. Thank you, Trish. So, somebody second that then, please?
I mean, the access for it is easy.
Stuart?
I think I know.
Okay, so Stuart seconded it. In favour? Thank you.
That's carried then. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now another contentious one. Hero Garage, proposed attached dwelling. There are a large number of objectives to this application, and summarising the reason that appears to be the main objection is that it's an overbearing design. It's in a raised elevation, it's a large building, and it will cause major overlooking of the properties immediately opposite, which they say quite rightly is against the National Design Code and poor strategy policies DM2 and DM12. There's also concern about premature removal without permission of trees, which are noted as ancient woodland. And that is actually very much against the principle of the NPPF. And the third one that they're objecting about, third reason, seems to be the land stability. And I've read the submission by a guy called Malcolm Woodlock, who has experience of the land stability in Key Road. We know that they're doing piling along that road as it is. And he's expressed his great concerns and made some very strong recommendations that planning permission should only be granted if the points he raises are satisfactorily resolved. He doesn't believe the method of the foundation that is included in the application will be sufficient. And this is a serious one that possibly be a potential very severe effect on existing property. If there's slippage coming down the hill, straight onto some land. So therefore, my recommendation is that we object on the grounds of the overbearing design, the premature removal of the trees, and the land stability.
So overbearing design, removal of trees, and ground stability.
Mm-hmm. Before we look for a seconder, is anybody else like to add anything to that? Mark.
I think I would emphasise the ancient woodland here, first of all. This is outside the settlement, this site, and it's ancient woodland. It goes back to the 1600s, I'm sorry. What they've done already to that woodland is history now, I guess. But I walked in this afternoon and counted 26 stumps that were not there before September last year. Now those roots are slowly going to rot away, and that will increase the instability of the slope, which has been slipping for many, many years. And if we go back to 2003, we and our neighbours suffered seriously and had to spend, I think it's in the comments, over £200,000 in stabilising the road. The removal of these trees and further removal of the trees will only exacerbate that problem. And for that reason, we really are strongly objecting. Every house in Pier Road, from the works of Pier House all the way to Seagrove Bay, is objecting to this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Mark, you were going to say something. Sorry,
in fact. Yeah, there's something in the book report as well, which talks about connections to the main drain of the main sewer. Potentially involved going over the neighbouring property, so it seems that that needs to take a bit of a few minutes.
Yes. Okay. Philip.
Just as anything, the property isn't too relevant. The removal of these garages, doesn't it mean that there's greater access to Donkeyfield? Possibly as a bit of change of mind in terms of access to any particular future.
No, because the road's private, I don't think anybody would allow anybody to drive up there to get access to the Donkeyfield. Thank you. So that was a British proposal.
I can clarify on that. Many years ago, a right of way into the Donkey Field from this piece of forest was granted.
Was it?
From the deeds going a long way back.
Right.
Now,
so to the
did that
require access over land that is owned by two other people?
Yeah. So, Trish.
Yeah,
so, somebody like to second
the. So, the overbearing design, the removal of the ancient woodland trees, and stability
of the. Anything that's outside the settlement, there's never been anything apart from those gaps.
Yeah, outside settlement. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Got a living,
yeah.
We would
want
to take a vote,
which
is overbearing.
I shall add that word. Yeah. Okay.
It's quite interesting that they took down their entire Vilma, you'll remind me, their entire quota of trees in 10 minutes instead of 10 years or something, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't that happen down at Westwhite recently, and Bob Seeley was jumping up and down about it? That there seems to be.
I don't think they had permission though.
No, that's right. You know, they seem to be able to do anything, which is essentially breaking the law, but it's not considered in the application. And there it should be. Anyway, so somebody like to second Trish's proposal. Becky? Okay, all those in favour, please. Unanimous.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, take your pardon, Roy's abstain.
Okay.
Sorry, Roy. I must look fast.
Six.
And the last one is Stevie Rock. I think it's one.
Yeah.
I hope it's one. Stevie Rock, proposal for the extension, enlargement of the centenary gap, and relocation of pedestrian access. Which they say will be safe given central ingress and egress. I couldn't see that there was any likelihood of any objection to that.
No. I think it's a very
good idea. It will be much safer.
I think it's a very good idea. We all know he narrowed that to the road. Yeah. Somebody like to.
I'm happy to replace them.
So who has and who has? Okay. Right.
Oh. Lovely. Thank you, Earl. Thanks.
And can we have a seconder, please? Stuart.
Thank you.
Okay. And all those in favour? Thank you very much.
That's carried.
Thank you very much, Trish. Sorry to ask you to jump in the deep end.
You've really earned your money tonight, Trish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send me the bill.
You
yeah.
Get a pay rise.
Send me the bill. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Oh, there were no appeals, was there, Trish?
No.
Okay, thank you. We haven't got our ward councillor here this evening. So, Nettleton and Seaview Community Partnership. Becky?
Yes. Becky's really interesting.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, we'll get the beer out now, they've got.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
well,
so that's Becky.
There are two events, obviously, that the partnership is proposing to run this summer. One is the Plateau of the Prom, and the other is the combined faith, church and partnership faith. What will be happening, though, is we're not entirely sure yet. There's a meeting tomorrow. We have very good COVID risk assessments and safety things in place, but we still need to wait and see what happens, really. So that's where we're
still to be decided at the moment.
Yeah. I think we're really, really hoping that the church partnership faith can go ahead, but I think, you know, we'll have to see about the other. The shed is coming along. It's growing.
Have you seen it?
I haven't actually myself.
It's very big.
Yes, it's a shed. Right, okay,
so where do we are? Yeah, we had a meeting up there today, it was very big.
And then the other thing, is, as Brian mentioned, is the proposed new management of Safety Watson Gardens. And the idea is that there will be
It will be managed to support wildlife and wild growing with mowed areas for walking through and sitting in, and we will see how that goes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and we have a very good meeting with the guy from Bryston Mountains.
Kenny?
Yes.
Just when we're looking at circles and bridges, we're trying to make a more community.
Yeah. Well, look, Lynn and I are going to put a grant to my house, so that's what we're doing.
Yes, I'm going to tell you on the benches.
Yeah.
So the benches are together.
Yeah.
At the start of the sort of semicircle benches, where the semicircle is on the other side.
Yeah, so we were working on it. There was a very unfortunate incident with some of our trees.
Yes,
surely. So all our men cut down in their prime, now their trees are cut down in their prime.
Yeah.
They will be replaced, and that will fall on them. Anyway, so that's my report.
Thank you, Becky. Kevin. Kevin, would you like to say a few words about the pavilion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously our opening has been very once again. But it's looking very, very positive for September.
I hope not.
We're going to have another 2 new activities. One is going to be the HIT, especially down from here. And for pre- and postnatal exercise sessions as well. So two issues we've got. And 4 hours appear to be coming to my story in September in Charles.
Actually, I have something to add to that, which I've forgotten. So you just reminded me, Kevin, actually. The DFIT machine on the front of the pavilion, I've recently registered that on an organisation called The Circuit. You know our DFIT machine on the front of the pavilion? Yeah. I've just registered it. I mean, it's already registered with the Isle of Wight NHS, but I've just registered it with an organisation called The Circuit. And it's like all the DFITs around the country are all in line with each other, and they can remind you when pads are going out of date and things like that.
Training? It must be over 2 years ago now. I remember signage.
Oh, yeah. Funny enough, I was reminded of that yesterday. I was in the co-op in Bembridge, and they've got it all on their TV screen, shows where everything is. Yeah, that's something else to take on again.
It took me a minute to
revisit
that.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah.
And really, the good way to
John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or failing that, can we have a notice on the outside?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll make sure.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Nelson Residence Association. Oh, sorry, Becky.
I was just
going to
say that on the CV maps, they are on the CV maps. Yeah.
They're not on the
Irish
plan,
though. The CV
regulators
are on the CV maps.
They're not on
the
Irish plan that we have associated
for. Sorry, Nelson Residence Association?
I have not really anything.
Okay, thank you. And we haven't got Dave here for IWELC, so turn the page. Any other reports?
So it's on the other side of the page.
Of course, yes.
I don't think that no one's.
I saw what
no
you did, Brian.
No.
Okay, Chris, I think this is you. How's your targets? And we've got them all ready. Yeah. Your great efficiency.
What you wanted to say was I'd actually mentioned some of it anyway. But it's I feel personally that we are going to continue getting all these applications coming in, if as long as we've still got the high number that the Isle of Wight Council is supposed to deliver, which they're never going to deliver, they haven't delivered, and it's just getting silly. I mean, it comes back to, I think it was prompted actually by one of the Isle of Wight meetings that I went to. I think Roy was there actually a couple of weeks ago when they actually, Bob Seeley was talking about the fact that he was trying very hard to lobby the government to plead a special case for the Isle of Wight based on, you know, the tourism factor, the fact that there's, you know, the infrastructure. We were talking about electricity and water supply, wasn't he? Yeah. Particularly, that wasn't good enough. Yeah. And he really needs the Isle of Wight Council to actually support him in that, to actually write to them and actually put technical reasons in. Because I think somebody said, in fact, it was the lady who's actually now the leader of the council, and she said that she'd been talking to Southern Water, and Southern Water said there was too much poo on the island for them to cope with, yet they want to build all this extra. Yeah. And Bob Seeley looked a bit exasperated and said, well, please, that's, you know, we can't just say there's too much poo. Can we get the facts and the technical people from the Isle of Wight actually put these into a document to actually support him? And that's 2 years ago when he first asked for that to happen. So I just felt that it was a good idea for us as a parish to take the lead ourselves. I mean, when I suggested that we put, it opposes further greenfield development and writes the Isle of Wight Council asking to prevent greenfield development, I know that's not likely to happen. There will never be no greenfield development, but unless you aim high, and as a priority, asking them to write to the government with the technical information to support his plea for the island to be treated as a special case. And I thought if we could adopt that, it would be useful for us as members of IWALK to write to IWALK and ask them to make a similar resolution and pass it out to the other parishes and ask them to similarly...
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but it was something Big Dave went. He went to one of these IWALK meetings, and it was about green transport, something or another, and you know, he's saying about there's too much poo on the Isle of Wight to get rid of. There's also not enough electricity.
Yes.
Because we can't do a simple thing like have electric buses because we can't charge them up.
Yeah.
But how can we build 2,500 houses? Yeah. You know, it's just all rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, we can't do it. The idea that all these houses is ridiculous.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, Chris. Carry on. While
you're in full power. I agree, and I think that's the problem. That he is with the best one in the world. I heard his name on something today. There was something on one of the news programmes, and talking about the planning bill, and his name came up. I think he is quite active. In trying to promote these things. But with the best will in the world, if he goes to the government or the Minister of Communities and Housing and says we're a special case, he needs it written down.
He needs evidence,
exactly,
doesn't he?
Why, yeah. we need to be. So that was my suggestion. And I think it's really the right time for it with a new council and with what happened in Amersham and Chesham. And I did see that one of the, Theresa Villiers, who's an MP, she's suggesting that there should be a tax on greenfield development and that would help support the cost of green brownfield sites into use. So
well, there often is the 106 money, isn't there, in a sort of roundabout way, but you're talking about
something
definitive.
About something more than that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No, I that was my proposal anyway.
Yeah, I think it's lovely.
This is the document that was circulated to us.
Yeah.
Well, we need to force him off from the water to say he can't cope with anymore.
No.
That's the obvious situation. No. So the water says he's not worth putting any more houses up because we can't cope with what we've got now. It's proved itself on the other. Halfway there in a terrible state. We don't know what new work they've done. We don't know whether or not when that gets completed. What it's going to do and affect the existing services.
Before we go for the second Trish's proposal, Kevin, you wanted to say something.
I was just thinking along the lines that you were just mentioning about electrification of the buses. We've got electric
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah, and there's a lot more cars, aren't there?
So, okay, we've got the proposal, haven't we?
Can I have a seconder for Trish's proposal, please?
Thank you.
Mark. All those in favour?
This is the resolution that we came through.
Yeah, so it's part one and two. That looks like it's unanimously carried. That's good.
Brian, how do you feel to play a safety report?
Yes. So, hopefully you've got a copy through the post of the safety report. In general, compared to when we started a couple of years ago, things have improved greatly. We've actually got rid of our high risk. The last high risk thing we had was the dip in front of the goal mouth, and we've got rid of that this year. And then in this report, only two things came up as medium. One of them we've never seen before. On page 6, they mention a finger trap on the gate where you can have a thing put in. So I will investigate.
Finger trap?
Yeah. So basically, it turns out nowadays, when you put a gate like that in, you put little buffers on each side. You actually move it away to stop the little finger.
So they can't close on your hand.
Yeah. I mean, it's never happened.
That
we know of. It's actually, in that case, Barry, this is for you. I will get that investigated because that's our only medium risk. Because the other thing is, in report, they talk about the swings matting as well. They've noticed that. But we've actually had that done, and this report happened about a week before the matting was prepared, so we've actually, everything else is green and low. So, but if anyone had any questions or anything else out of it, any members, please let me know. But hopefully we've only got one area of
small concern
actually, which is the gate, which has never come up before. But other than that, it was a very encouraging set of assessments. So
Brian, do you want to leave on the next question? GDPR?
The GDPR one. So basically, this was actually a mistake of mine last month, because coming out of the audit last year, it turned out that we should have had a GDPR policy in place for a couple of years, which had been overlooked for some reason. So the month after that, I created one, and we all voted and we all liked it, and I should have brought it back last month for you, but here it's a year now actually. So it's just a question of, I sent out a copy of the GDPR policy to everyone, and it's just for you to observe it, note it and say, is it okay still, does it need any change? The only thing, a big thing that's happened since is the Brexit type thing. But the rules are the same, the laws are set up the same, and from all the research I've done, the idea behind it is still the same, and the wording remains the same for the time being until we're told otherwise. So,
okay.
Unless anyone's got any objections, it's just to have a vote on, are we happy with it, so we can say we've reviewed it this year.
Can we have a vote on that?
If please.
Okay. I propose that we have a vote on it.
that we accept the policy.
Yes. Somebody like to second that? Roy, all those in favour? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Becky.
Yes, the public toolbox in the Dura Road. Brian has something for the planning department of the council, saying that BT were planning to remove the toolbox unless we told them that we wanted to keep it. There are a couple of reasons where we're allowed to keep it. One is needing emergencies, and one is for mobile coverage, so which I think we should qualify for, and I would certainly like us to write to them, because it's got to go through the council, I think.
Yeah, we have to propose a reason to keep it.
Yeah. Those points. Having said that, about 7 years ago, I brought to the council the idea of adopting the phone box, which we could do for £1, and those members of the community felt that it should be kept as a phone box, because if you adopt the phone box, they take the phone out. The various members of the community felt that we should keep it for emergencies and because of poor mobile coverage. Now, somebody very kindly, I'm afraid I didn't do this myself, somebody very kindly looked up how often the phone box has been used, and in the last year it's been used once. So, whilst I think we should write to the council and so that it doesn't get removed, I would also like to write and try and adopt the phone box, because I think it would be nice to keep that phone box there, and I don't know.
Well, it's this heritage thing, isn't it?
It's a heritage thing.
Rather, not quite as old as the one that Benbury
by
the bishop.
You know, it's always been there, and I don't know, we could turn it into a library or a parish archive.
What we can do with this agenda item, what we could do is the proposal to say to them, please don't get rid of it, blah, 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 and then we can, for a future meeting, put something like a little project to say, we would like to adopt it, or community partnership, whoever would like to.
Can I look into adopting
it? Yeah, yeah.
Please do.
Because I think that might be the way forward.
Right.
Actually, what's the situation with the electricity in it, isn't it?
Yes.
Are we responsible for all that?
Well, I'll look into all that, what we're responsible. There are responsibilities, obviously.
Yes,
but the reason why we didn't do it before was because if you adopt it, you take the phone. And at that point, people felt that we really should, and I agree with them then, 3 years ago, we really shouldn't take the phone out, but I think things have changed since then.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that it's only been used once in the last year rather proves that point, I think. So if we could object on the, you know, those 2 points, which are quite clearly in the letter, and then I'll look into the adoption of it if everybody's happy with that.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so the mobile coverage and.
So that does still seem to be an option.
Yeah.
It's
the mobile coverage is the one really that we've it is for there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
thank
the,
you very
those
much.
Are the two bits.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. And Becky. It's you again.
Well, yeah, would you like to make that official?
Oh, okay.
Because then can I go ahead and?
Yeah. So you're going to propose that. I'll second it.
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favour?
Thank you. We'll do that. Carrie.
Becky.
And you can go off and have a look at a project now to say, what could we do with
it? You can't, because you've got to look at the Christmas tree lights.
Yeah, that's right, yes, you're going to be busy, yes.
festive lights. I have to say that whilst this is something that is paid for by the parish, and we have a budget for, I do really see this as being part of the Denison and Sydney community, Sydney, whichever way around it is, community partnership.
Mm.
And certainly last year, that's how we dealt with it. I took it on with Lynn's help and a couple of other people's input. I'm very happy to do that again.
That would be lovely.
If you'd like me to. But if anybody would like, I'm also very happy to have other people. If anybody wants to join me, and then you'll be clearly in a little group, we'd love to have you. But otherwise, I think everybody was quite happy last year.
Yes, it was very, very nice.
And
very
I think, and I'm very happy to do it again as really from the community partnership. I think that makes sense, don't you?
And just to make it clear to everyone, Councillor Hardy and members of the community partnership, such as Lynn, will go and do all the hard work. They will sort it all out, but then it does come back. They don't just go off and spend the money without the approval of the council. It will have to come back, and you guys.
As long as we're not spending
eight on
anybody's tutus, are we? To go on the top. Roy, you wanted to say something, mate.
Well, why were there a console on the trees so long last year?
Ah, that's a very good question. Basically, the ones on the tree at the front here, when NDLE came to pick them up, the ground, I'll speak so you can hear me, the ground was completely sodden, and the chap rang me straight away to say, if we go on there and start unravelling this, we're going to destroy the turf around near the tree. Do you want us to proceed? So I contacted Sylvia. She said, please don't. And he said, we're happy. If we want, you can leave the trees up, the lights up for a little while longer.
Okay.
And Sylvia said, well, could we turn them on to brighten the day? We were in the middle of lockdown at the time. It was all dark and horrible. She said, I'd like to put the lights on. And I said, yeah.
So, and she blew the whole entire village gate. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
That was the reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so the July Parish Council meeting, we're going to discuss changing the date to allow the use of an alternative venue. Mondays at the moment, obviously we can't continue like this. This is just, you know, not very good. The pavilion currently is occupied on a Monday evening, so.
Well, what I should point out, Barry, is for extra information today, the great unravelling didn't happen, did it? We didn't all get released back into the world.
That's right, that was the reason for this.
And unfortunately, right at the moment, they're still saying about the 19th we'll still be under the same sort of constrict. So we do struggle for another building of the right size.
Yeah.
So if you guys wanted to sort out giving yourself the flexibility to do that, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no guarantees.
I can't get in the Sonic Hall because the trustees are going to keep it closed until about October. And we're having a load of work done there.
Why don't we not go back to the room upstairs?
Roy, before you go home tonight, I'll take you up there.
Well, I know.
It's horrible.
It must be a mess, but we can't leave it like that. It's a mess.
No, it's not a mess, it's an odour.
It smells like an old tomcat been in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a church, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What can we do about it?
You just made a comment about the pavilion. We couldn't have the pavilion on a Monday night. I actually put a note down on my agenda about the pavilion. Is the pavilion ever available for parish council meetings? Are you the following the evening?
Yeah, Tuesdays look good, don't they, Gronje? Tuesdays look good.
That was the thrust of my meeting, potentially changing the date to find another accommodation.
Yeah, but I mean, personally, I think the pavilion will be really good because people talk about, you know, ages ago we were talking about Nettleston as opposed to Fiddle, and the pavilion is
middle for diddle.
And it's a nice room, and I think it'd be much more comfortable than that though. Anybody else agree?
No, I do agree. Yeah. But that was what
you
we
could think
that
I couldn't possibly comment.
City football club have their AGM day at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's a lot of people there, which we don't want to.
Yeah, I'll turn the tape off, Roy.
Turn the tape off.
Right.
Oh, well, right.
We have a forum, and obviously the parish council, we would have a lot more people in there. It may be difficult for officers, but it could possibly be worth the time.
I mean, if Roy, you're right. What we worked on eight, Kevin. People could be good at. Yeah, we did work on eight. So I mean, if there was something which was of great interest to the parish and we were expecting a lot of people, hopefully by then we can go back to the Masonic Hall. But
you're only proposing this for one.
Well, it'll be our last meeting, won't it?
Right.
And then we'll have the holiday, the summer recess. But we would have to find somewhere.
This was to cover one up, but of course that's something that's open to you, councillors, to explore in the fullness of time if you were interested in it.
Nicely put, Brian.
Yeah.
So, should we leave that up in the air?
You do need to agree if you were. What you can do is you could make a proposal to leave yourself open to moving the night of the next meeting as per the agenda item.
Yeah.
So if by some miracle they get to say, do you know, on the 19th we're going to be opening back up again, on the 20th, which is a day after, which will be a Tuesday, I think we might be able to go in the pavilion.
Yeah.
It's definitely
open. Yeah.
Definitely at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? We're going to say, I don't want to choose, you know, that's all.
This was only about the next meeting, this agenda item, so we mustn't. It'd be a change to the standing orders as well, which is like a two meeting process as well. So this would just be for the one meeting.
Yeah. And then we'd see how it works.
Yeah.
Obviously, if that doesn't have something on the Tuesday.
Okay,
it's
so
got a poker club.
Sure. It's not in a very good state of repair at the moment. We are having some work done to the disabled toilets. We're redoing the gents' toilets as well. We've had new doors fitted on the H side. We've done quite a lot of work down there, but to be honest, it's not very good, and the fellas don't want to get together. So that's about it. So we're not opening up yet. But hopefully we'll be ready by October.
So there is a proposal then to potentially move to an alternative night.
Yeah.
Is lockdown permitting, because if not we will be here.
What should be the date?
It should be the 19th.
Yeah. Thank you, Roy's seconded it.
So I'm going to say we're supposed to move to the 20th and potentially to see the pavilion.
Yeah. So, all those in favour? Yeah,
I think that's carried, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. And we'll see what happens, because if it doesn't open up, we will have to be here, because it's the only building big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, correspondence.
Yes. Okay, well, I had a lot of correspondence, as you will all have seen, because I kept sending it all to you, whether you wanted it or not. I had all the many objections to a couple of...
Hang on. Sorry?
So, in view of what you've said, there's no reason why we can't really
approach
the
friends
and guys, because they had to have on Monday, then, because the rain was on Tuesday.
Ah.
So
you think maybe they...
So potentially we could bully Wendy into going to a Tuesday. Oh, well, not, I should turn the table for a second.
That's a conversation, yes. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much. That's fine. Yeah. Yes, lots of, as you will all have seen, lots of communication about some of the planning applications, two in particular. Once I get through those, I have got some other bits. Okay. Oh, also, thing from Paul Seeley there.
As having been sent to us.
Well,
they're all copies of people sent us copies of what they'd put on the planning portal.
Some of them I thought were not copies.
One of them wasn't, and I told them, because I checked each one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I checked each one, and I did say to the lady who'd sent it, and it wasn't a copy, I think you should be aware that there's a planning portal you could put this... Yeah. Thank you. There's a very, really good point, though, Councillor Hardy, a really good point. But great minds think alike. Great minds, yeah. You would have all seen it. I did get contacted by Southern Housing Group again just to say they were doing an ecology report, and there'll be people walking around in high-vis vests. And so
the snails can see them.
Yeah. And the last one, which is a more interesting, this only came in today. This is where, I'll speak to the members who can hear me, you may not have a chance to see it yet. This is where Rob from CWC has reported that we are getting problems in Puckpool with the smell. And this all goes back to last summer. There was a bad leak further away from us, and ever not in a block or anything like that, and ever since then the water pressure has not been right to the rest of the park, and as a result of it the toilets are not flushing through as well as they did, and building on the point about too much poo, basically there's too much sanitary waste at the moment that needs to get cleared through, and it's making a bad venting smell out of a vent that for some reason is currently inside the building, and Rob is suggesting we get a plumber to look at making it an external vent, which is a much more, So there is a process there to get rid of the excess gases, but for some reason in the past it was put inside the building, so that's not very nice, is it?
So, do you think we should be rising to Southern Water where they're repairing everything and saying that this is also affecting...
Do you know, I think I will do that. It's just a request, isn't it? I'm going to make a note of that.
But if the toilets aren't flushing properly, then maybe we should consider header tanks.
Oh, no.
It's to do with the big...
Yeah.
That's the worst thing to sell. Or we've got a problem with header tanks.
Oh dear, that's only about a ton of water. A ton of ice.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so yeah, what I'll do is I'll get some investigation done anyway with moving that pipe. And also in the email, they're just warning us that already at Seagrove Bay and Puckpool, large amounts of waste are being, like barbecues and all sorts of things being dumped in the toilets.
Yeah.
But this happens every summer and people do the same thing.
We know where that goes.
Yeah. So that's the end of the correspondence.
Thank you, Brian. Reported from that avenue.
Yeah.
Finances.
Yeah. So I've got the I've lost my copy of the agenda. Now where are we?
Receipts.
Oh yeah. So basically, to note receipts, we had £3,526.90. Then the next important bit is the payments. It's for you to all approve the payments, if that's okay, which are those going up to 10,000. Because that's the thing in the past, we probably wasn't doing quite right. We were just saying, you've got any questions, and moving on. I think, like I did last month, I'll get you all to actually vote. Yes, please.
Okay. Would someone like to propose that we approve the payments?
Yeah.
Becky, someone to second, please.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And all those in favour?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Approved. Payments. Thank you.
Consider grant application.
There were no grant applications this month.
Okay.
Did anyone have any questions? I sent it out a week ago about our summary reports. Everything seems to be on track. Thank you.
Okay. And, we get to that stage where there's nothing else on the agenda except for information. Has anybody got anything they'd like to bring to the attention of the Parish Council? A broken seat or a lamppost or something?
Yes.
Becky.
Sorry, yes again, in a different place, but wobbly handrail at the slip on Seagrave Bay. There are some steps that go up the side onto the slip halfway along the wall.
Okay. Oh, I know what you mean, yeah.
They're very wobbly handrail.
Opposite the last house.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, yes.
Very wobbly hand.
Okay.
Sorry, I know I'm on to wobbly hand.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So, in no particular order. Lee, have you got anything you'd like to bring to us?
Who?
Is it Lee? What's her name?
Melanie.
Melanie. Who's Lee? Yeah. You've been an imposter, haven't you? So, you mind your head on that lectern?
Cool.
Yeah. Stuart?
Hello.
Mark?
Nope.
Roy?
Yeah. I'd like to know if the situation would be possible that we could to try and survive in this time of mobility when we are building. Whether or not we could turn the pavilion and the football ground into a community asset, like a village green, just for the future. I don't know how we managed to do that, but it belongs to the Arbroath Council. How do we go about turning it into a village
asset? I was actually something I've been sort of tampered while I was pouring the drain over the last week or whatever. I was actually working on something that I was going to suggest coming back to the parish council. We talked loosely about a neighbourhood plan, doing a neighbourhood plan, Kevin has mentioned about the parish plan and all the rest of it, and I've been trying to do a bit of research into the past parish plans, 2007 and 2017, I was going to suggest that the parish council actually has a look at those. But I noticed that they actually say about designating green spaces. Now, I happen to know a little bit about this because I'm still, for my sins, although Woodstock has gone from my life now, I was the chairman of the group that was actually working on designating Walker Green Space as part of a partial neighbourhood plan. And so it has to go through the whole, you look at the village as a whole, and you identify what are valuable sites. So what you've just suggested obviously springs out, so for Watson's Gardens, for example, Kerryfields, for example, places like that, and I'm sure when you sit down around the table you come up with others. And then you go through a proper, it's a bit of a torturous process. You have to go through a consultation process, and it has to be done in conjunction with the Isle of Wight Council, and you can get grant funding for this. We're not paying a penny for ours. And then it all goes through. We've got to the very last stage now. Report's been done. It's got to have a second consultation with certain bodies, and then it will go to referendum. And then from referendum, an inspector will look at it and designate it. And those sites that are actually designated as green, local green spaces out of that process are protected 100%.
Right, but what was meant, if we did get it, what problems do we give ourselves? How do we, have to manage, we don't want to manage the trees, we don't want to manage anything.
No, the land ownership remains exactly as it is. It's just
the ownership is fairly out of light.
Yeah.
But because that's the only designated place where we can have a community working. The church works there, the schools, have a race in there, the football club. It's the only site we've got in Metherstone Seaview that we can say, we can go on a community park and a community field.
Yeah.
And we lose that. You know the reason I'm saying that is because the situation with schools, if they've got a piece of land and it's got a football pitch on it, it gets absorbed.
Yeah, unfortunately, we missed out on the last Queen's Jubilee. There was a whole thing for adopting.
We could have adopted that.
Playing it, and we missed it.
Well, don't
there may be other ways of doing it, but that is a cast iron way if it gets accepted, and I'm sure a site like that would be accepted. Mm. They say it gives you, this is a bit ironic actually, they say it gives you the same sort of status as it was green beltland, but seeing as they've
done it, not beltland, I don't. You know, they're trying to take the football pitch in the new courts and put buildings on.
Yeah.
So I don't want that to happen. See all this situation we've got, and we've got to look after it.
Mm. They did that, Swanmore School in Ryde, didn't they?
Yeah. But yeah. If you just do. A neighbourhood plan, ours got delayed because of COVID, but if you do a neighbourhood plan just on green spaces rather than a full neighbourhood plan will take years to go through.
Yeah.
But if you're concentrating just on that, you can actually get that through much quicker.
Well, that's
and
that's okay. Okay, well, thanks anyone. If that's it, it's 2025.
Yeah, I can let people see what
we've been doing. Right, it's 2025 and I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you.